Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Arjun Chowdhury, and today we will be discussing West Asia crisis, the key developments and implications for energy security. We have with us former Ambassador Prabhu Dayal. Mr. Dayal, a warm welcome to you on this discussion.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. It's always great to be in a discussion on All India Radio.
Well, this discussion is particularly important because it deals with energy security, and so much of the energy produced actually goes through the Strait of Hormuz, which has been a subject of blockade both by Iran and now the United States. Could you tell us exactly the scope of the geopolitical shocks and the maritime disruptions at the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, the Strait of Hormuz is experiencing critical maritime disruptions due to intense geopolitical conflicts in West Asia. Now, this checkpoint handles approximately 25% of global oil and 20% of global LNG traffic. And this route has been seeing the shipping traffic plummet very, very low. In fact, to nearly zero at times due to the ongoing fighting. And that is why it's a matter of concern for India also, because India is a country which has been relying heavily on the Middle East for its energy requirements. 45% of our crude oil, 60% of the LNG, 90% of the LPG, which is used for cooking, 40% of the fertilizer, all that comes through the Strait of Hormuz, and naturally, disruptions there create some problems for us. And although Iran is assured that Indian vessels will be allowed to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, but there has been an escalation of the crisis because President Trump has now decided to ban the traffic through the Strait. Nonetheless, Indian ships have been coming through the Strait of Hormuz, and the Indian Navy is escorting Indian flagged vessels through the danger zone. So I hope that the situation can ease out. But nonetheless, it's a matter which is causing great concern to many, many countries, including, of course, to India.
Let's now hear a report from Prasar Bharti special correspondent in Dubai.
The continuing Israeli airstrikes in southern Lebanon underline how fragile the current calm remains across West Asia. While Lebanon is pushing for a U.S.-mediated ceasefire, Hezbollah's refusal to disarm or withdraw unilaterally presents a major hurdle to negotiations. At the same time, Washington is working on multiple diplomatic tracks, including rare direct talks between Israeli and Lebanese envoys, in an effort to prevent a broader escalation. Adding another layer to the situation, Iran has opened channels for de-escalation through discussions with UAE officials. Meanwhile, United States President Donald Trump has indicated that wider confrontation involving Iran may be close to wrapping up, even though some military steps remain unfinished. The combination of continued Israeli strikes, fragile diplomacy, and cautious signals from Tehran highlights how the region remains tense, despite ongoing efforts to move towards a balanced and durable ceasefire. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashwani News from Dubai.
Sir, would you agree that diplomacy is the best course of action in the current situation about what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz? Could you tell us about what the government of India is doing, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, with his counterpart, the US President Donald Trump?
Well, a very significant development took place last night when President Trump made a telephone call to our Prime Minister. And this call was significant because of the tensions in West Asia and its implications for global energy security. Now, a primary focus during this call, as I understand, was the urgent need to keep the Strait of Hormuz open and secure. Now, as a critical maritime choke point, as I mentioned earlier, through which about 30% of India's crude oil imports pass, any disruption directly threatens India's energy stability and global fuel prices. So this call, which took place, occurred a day after President Trump ordered a U.S. naval blockade of Iran's ports. Now, this call also signals high-level diplomatic coordination between President Trump and our prime minister to manage the fallout of the blockade and to prevent further regional escalation. Of course, you know, Prime Minister Modi has been maintaining contact with a whole range of global leaders, and this is being done in view of the escalating conflict situation in West Asia and to be able to manage India's interests, because that's very, very important. So this diplomatic outreach is something which is becoming a key factor in our policy formulation.
Well, let's now hear what the Ministry of External Affairs spokesperson, Mr. Randhir Jaiswal, had to say.
Our diplomatic engagement in the context of the West Asia conflict continues. Yesterday, as you know, Prime Minister received a call from President of the United States, President Donald Trump. The two leaders reviewed the substantial progress achieved in India-US bilateral cooperation. Both sides remain committed to further strengthening a comprehensive global strategic partnership in all areas of cooperation. The two leaders also discussed the situation in West Asia and stressed the importance of keeping the Strait of Hormuz open and secure. Yesterday, External Affairs Minister spoke with the Foreign Minister of Israel and discussed various aspects of the conflict in West Asia. He also spoke with the Foreign Minister of Australia, where the two leaders shared views on the conflict in West Asia.
Mr. Prabhudayal, what is the seriousness of the situation in the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, the situation is extremely serious. But it's very heartening to note that quite a few vessels have been allowed to cross the Strait of Hormuz and have arrived at Indian ports. So while the situation is very, very dangerous and there has been an escalation of the conflict, Indian vessels being permitted by Iran to come through the Strait of Hormuz is a positive sign. And we are trying to make sure that more of our vessels are able to cross, because we need the energy supplies from the Persian Gulf area to meet our requirement.
So not only is there traffic of energy products through the Strait of Hormuz, we are also seeking to import from Iran after a gap of 7 years, and the U.S. blockade has an attempt to prevent any kind of export by Iran to countries like India. Could you tell us something about that and about Russia as well? Because we bought 1.5 million barrels per day of Russian crude in the month of March. Tell us about Russian and Iranian crude that we are seeking to import at a discount, and especially in times like this.
Well, you know, President Trump had himself said some weeks ago that Iran can export its oil, but now he has put a blockade on all traffic coming out of Iranian ports, which means we can't import oil from Iran, though we are continuing to import oil from Russia. Now, President Trump had lifted the sanctions which had been placed earlier by him on Russia. He'd lifted them for a one-month period. But that one-month period of the sanctions waiver expired on 11th of April. Let me mention that India imports about 85 to 90% of its crude requirements. And every $10 per barrel increase in oil prices adds about $13 to $14 billion to India's annual import bill. So we are trying to diversify. We are trying to get oil from African countries. We are trying to see whether more gas supplies can come from the African continent. So there is a very conscious effort to diversify our import sources.
Well, do tell us about the diversification of suppliers. News is coming in that we're also looking to West Africa for crude imports. How sustainable is that, and how does that mitigate what's happening in the Middle East and West Asia?
Well, as I said, you know, to reduce reliance on the volatile Persian Gulf region, India is shifting its energy procurement towards West Africa and other regions. Now, Nigeria and Algeria have emerged as key alternative suppliers of crude oil and LPG. And you know, Algeria's Sonatrach, which is their company, is becoming a significant LPG partner for India. And Indian public sector undertakings are actively investing in oil and LNG assets in Mozambique. Then again, you know, India has altered its procurement to include increased purchases of West African crude, for instance, Nigerian Bonny Light. And Angola is emerging as a significant alternative for gas supplies. So the question is, why West Africa? You know, West Africa provides a strategic fit for our energy diplomacy, and it offers a geopolitical hedge against the Hormuz disruption.
Do tell us about the orders that are being issued by the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, especially on consumption within the country of India in the midst of this energy crisis that's taking place in the Middle East and West Asia.
You know, the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas has recently issued several critical orders to manage energy consumption and supply stability in India. And this has been done largely in response to global supply chain disruptions. Now, these directives focus on prioritizing essential sectors and accelerating the transition to piped natural gas, or PNG. Now, to manage the current supply constraints, the ministry has implemented a tiered allocation system for LPG. The household sector has been given priority. Domestic LPG production has been ramped up by about 25 to 40%, with the entire domestic supply directed strictly to household customers. Then, of course, there is this aspect of industrial allocation. Industrial units in key sectors, including pharma, food processing, steel and agriculture, are being allocated 70% of their pre-March 2026 bulk LPG consumption. And then, of course, there is this issue of the essential non-domestic sectors, because priority for non-domestic supply is given to hospitals and educational institutions. But as regards commercial use, you know, commercial allocation for restaurants, hotels and dhabas is currently capped at 70% of pre-crisis levels. So a temporary measure has also been taken to increase the mandatory gap between domestic LPG cylinder bookings to prevent hoarding. So government is taking all necessary steps how to manage this situation.
Well, let's now hear what the Joint Secretary at the Petroleum Ministry, Sujata Sharma, had to say about this.
जैसा कि आप जानते हैं, वेस्ट एशिया क्राइसिस के चलते भारत की एनर्जी सप्लाईज भी अफेक्ट हुई, किंतु भारत सरकार ने कई इफेक्टिव स्टेप्स लिए और जिसके चलते डोमेस्टिक पीएनजी और एलपीजी कंज्यूमर को प्रायोरिटाइज करते हुए 100% सप्लाई इंश्योर की गई है। इसके अलावा सीएनजी ट्रांसपोर्ट भी 100% इंश्योर किया गया है। डोमेस्टिक रिफाइनरीज में एलपीजी प्रोडक्शन को इंक्रीज किया गया है और इसके अलावा बुकिंग इंटरवल को भी अर्बन एरिया में 25 दिन और रूरल एरिया में 45 दिन किया गया है। इस सप्लाईज के अफेक्ट होने की वजह से कमर्शियल सप्लाईज को 70% तक रिस्टोर किया गया है और यहां पर भी हॉस्पिटल एजुकेशनल इंस्टीट्यूशंस को प्रायोरिटाइज किया गया।
Mr. Prabhudayal, apart from the steps being taken by the government of India on LPG for cooking purposes and, of course, fuel, what about fertilizer production? Because 40% of fertilizer production actually comes from natural gas.
Yes, indeed. That's a very important question because of the fact that our requirements for fertilizers are enormous because we have such a big agricultural sector and we need to meet its requirements. And I think the government is completely focused on this issue. It is trying to ensure that fertilizer supplies are not disrupted, both by increasing imports where necessary and also by managing the requirements in such a way that our strategic reserves are utilized fully to meet these challenges.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Prabhudayal, for being with us on Akashvani and talking to us in great depth and detail about what's happening in this West Asia crisis, what the key developments are, and the implications for India when it comes to energy security.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. You can listen to Spotlight on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.